We begin the Karan Dav, Masech Tzchun Dav Tzadi. We begin 12 lines down at the top of the Yomit, where the Gemara continues explaining that one of the halachas of the previous Mishnah, which opened up our parak, discussing the laws of Gira Nosha, the sciatic nerve in the animal which is forbidden to be consumed, even the kosher animal. So the Gemara was discussing that, as we said in the Mishnah, it relates to chulin, unconsecrated animals, and to mukdashin, and to karbanas. So that the Gemara continues qualifying this halacha. Amar B'chiyah Bar Yosef, he says, Lo Yishan, we didn't learn this prohibition of the Gira Nosha in kachim, in karbanas, el kachim hanachalim, only in kachim that are consumed, like a karmachatas, an ashim, a shlamim, where the meat is eaten by a person. And that's where we're saying that the gira nasha would apply to kachim too, and this can be forbidden. Av kachim she'ein nachalim, but regarding kachim that are not eaten, like a karban oily, which is totally burnt on the mizbeach, ein isu gid noig behen, sejub chibar yosef, there the prohibition of gid will not apply. Rabbi Yechonam, he disagrees. He says, Echad kachim anachalim, ve'echad kachim she'en nachalim. Whether it's kachim that are eaten, like we said, chatas and ashim, all those and shlam, and whether those that are not eaten, like a carbon ayla, isu gid noig mehen, no, the prohibition of the gid anasha applies to. Now, Amr Papa, he qualifies and he says, v'lei pligi. Actually, they're not disagreeing. Because kan, Rabbi Yechonam, that says it includes all kachim, is lahal kaisai, is to give lashes to someone who eats the giranasha. There, of course, as we explained in the previous staff, an animal, when it's born already, has the issa giranasha. It's not going to lose it when one goes ahead and makes it into a carbon, as we're talking about in whatever the type of carbon it is. So, of course, it's going to apply to even kachim that are not nachalan. There's going to be an issa giranasha for someone that eats that giranasha. Kan lahal kaisai. Reb Chiya Bar Yosef was talking about in regards to bringing this carbon up to the altar, that he was saying it doesn't apply to the carbon ayla, meaning that the issa giranasha does not apply to being problematic of sacrificing that in mizbeach, as the Gemara is going to say later on. It doesn't say lo yechal hamizbeach. It says who shouldn't eat. It says the Bnei Yisrael, the sons of Yaakov Avinu, shouldn't eat it. However, regarding an ayla which is not eaten by a person but rather by the mizbeach, that there's no issa of giranasha. Ikedami, it does say a different version, Amar Papa. Again, he qualifies and he says, "Beloy pligi," they don't disagree, but here he says it differently. He says, "Kan," over here, meaning according to Reb Chiya Bar Yosef, who says that the Gira Nasha does not apply by Karban Oilo, that means lechaltzai. In other words, to remove it. That is, that there's no obligation to remove the Gira Nasha from the thigh that's being burnt on the Mizbeach from the Karban Oilo. But for Kan, however, over here, meaning according to Reb Yechon, who says that it does apply even to kachim that are not nachalin, that meant lahal loisoi, meaning to bring it up, meaning to it's forbidden to bring up the gira nasha to sacrifice the mizbeach when it's by itself, if it had been already removed from the thigh. That is, then the isser is going to apply even for a carbon idol. So again, they both agree. The question is just regarding if it's part of the thigh or if it's removed. When we say that it's not problematic is when it's part of the thigh. When we say it is problematic is when it was already removed from the thigh. Now, these were two different versions of Rav Papa. Rav Nachman Bar Yitzchak, he disagrees. He actually says, no, they actually do disagree. And it's lahaloisi pligi. Their machlekes is regarding, can you bring it up to the mizbeach? Or as Rashi's girsa, which is essentially the same thing, lachaltze pligi, and that is regarding, do you have to remove it from the thigh? Which, according to Rabbi Yechonon, who says it does apply even by kachim that are not nachal, meaning regarding carbon ayla, he holds that it's a mitzvah, it's an obligation to remove it from the thigh. You can't go ahead and burn the mizbeach. In contrast to, according to Rabbi Chiya Bar Yosef, who he said that, no, actually one is allowed to leave it in there and burn it in the mizbeach, which essentially, as the Gemara is going to illustrate shortly, this is a machlekes tanoim of Rabbi and the Rabbanan, where according to Rabbi it's permitted. As the Gemara is going to explain according to Rabbi that when the Pasuk is coming to tell us a ribui, it's coming to include that the Gid Hanasha is permitted to be burned in Mizbech if it's still attached to the thigh. Whereas according to Rabban, that's also because you needed to teach something else regarding that, because they obligate that which is permitted for the Jewish people, and Gid Hanasha is forbidden for a Jew, and therefore it's forbidden for the Mizbech too. So therefore it says of Nachman Yitzchak, no, it's actually a Machlekes Amiram, this Machlekes, Rabbi Yechon and Rabbi Chiya Bar Yosef, if one is allowed to go ahead and bring up the mizbeach, even when it's part of the thigh. Now, says the Gemara, that the Tanya, like we'll learn the Braisa, that this is a machlekes tanoim. The Braisa says, the Pasuk in Vayikra, when it's talking about the carbon oila, says, V'hiktar ha-koin es ha-koil mizbecha. The koin sacrifices all part of the oila, it's a totally burnt sacrifice, on the mizbeach. Now, the word ha-koil is a ribu, it's an inclusionary term. Says the Braisa, l'rabbis ha-tzamais, It's coming to include the bones, the vagidin, the tendons, the sinews, the vakarnayim, the horns, the vatlafayim, and the hooves. They're all burnt on the mizbeach, the whole animal. Now, yochla filapirsha, you would think, even if these elements that we just included were already detached from the meat, that then these tendons, which we're talking about, not to get a nusha right now, we're talking about permitted sinews, which are similar to the cases that we're describing over here, like the bones, you would think that even then, one would go ahead and burn down the mizbeach. Tamalema, that's what the pasuk teaches. No, vasisa ilisecha abasav adam. You should make your korban oilo, what? The flesh and the blood, that's what's put on the mizbeach, and not all these other things. Now, ibasav adam, had we only had this pasuk regarding that it says the flesh and the blood, so yochel, you would think that yachlitz gidim batzamas, that you actually have to remove, before you throw on the flesh of the korban oilo, you would have to remove all the tendons and the bones. And v'yala basal gam mizbeach, and only then could you put the flesh on the mizbeach. Tamalima, that's what the first pasuk that we says, Vihiktra Koin Nasakal Mizbecha, that the Koin sacrifices everything on the altar. So Haketzat, so what is it? Do you put on these stuff like the bones and the Gidin or not? So that says the Braisa, Michu Baru and Yalu. When they're still attached to the flesh, then you bring them up and you burn it on the Mizbech. But Pirshu, if they're already detached, then a filiberation Mizbech, even if it was detached when it was already on the top of the altar, Yerdu, then they have to come down. That's what this Braisa says. Now, continues Rav Nachma Yitzchak to illustrate, as he's explaining that this machlekes Rav Yechon and Rav Yosef is a machlekes Tanaim, says, Uman Tana de Shamatle de Oma Pirsh Yerdu. Who's the Tana this Braisa that we know that says that if it got detached, even on Rosh Hashanah Mizbeach, you can't burn it anymore, you would have to go ahead and take it down from the Mizbeach. In other words, what he's trying to say is that this Braisa is not according to everyone, it's not unanimous. Rather, Rebbe. It's going like Rebbe, and the Rabbanan disagree with Rebbe. As we find the Tanya learned in the Braisa, which ultimately the Gemara and Ahmed Beis will conclude that from this Machlekes we'll see that according to Rebbe, the Gid Hanasha is permitted to be sacrificed in the Mizbeach, whereas according to Rabbanan, it's Aser, as the Gemara is going to explain, which is how he says it was this Machlekes Rebbe Yechidon and Rebbe Chiba Yesu. Why? Because the Braisa says as follows. It says, V'hiktar ha-koyin es ha-koyin. Like we said, it says by the Karban Oila that the Koyin sacrifices all of that animal. So that's Larabbis, that's coming to include. It's an inclusionary terminology, this word hakol. It's coming to include hatzamais, vagidim, vakrenayim, vatlafayim, the bones, the tendons, the horns, the hooves, vafilapirshu. And, says this Tana, even if they were detached. Now, v'haman mikarma, even if it's detached, then how do I fulfill v'asisa l'sech habas of adam, that says you make the korban oilo only the flesh and the blood, which seems to be excluding the gidim, the tendons, and all those other things. Says this Tana, it's bepoikin. When are we excluding those things from being burnt on the Mizbeach? When they burst off the fire on the Mizbeach. Then, you don't have to put it back. Okay, so how does this work out? Ikuli basar atamavze. Semi-burned pieces of meat from the fire that got burst off, that you have to put back on. That's what the pasuk is saying, habasav adam. But v'yatamavze ikuli gidim atzames, what we're excluding is that you don't have to put back on these semi-burned pieces of the tendons and the bones, but it was never excluding it initially. Initially, even if it's detached, you're going to put it on. What we are excluding is when it's semi-burnt, then you don't have to put it back on. That's the Rabbanan. Rebbe, I mean, he says a different interpretation. He says, one pasuk says the coin burns everything of it. That's Reba, that's inclusionary terminology. The other pasuk says that you make the ayla, the meat and the blood. That's miut, that's excluding all these other things. So how so? So he explains. And this is how we're showing that the previous brace was just like Rebbe who was saying right now. So he says, when they're attached, then it's hakel. Then you're going to bring it all up and burn it on the mizbech. But pirshur, if they got detached, even on the top of the mizbech, yerdu, then you'll take it down. So it's when it's detached that we're excluding them from being burnt on mizbech. Now, so we see the previous braisa is like Rebbe, but it's not unanimous because we have the Rabbanan who disagree. Now, the Gemara concludes with its proof. Rabbanan, according to Rabbanan, who disagree in the interpretation of this Rebbe meat in the pasuk, they'll tell you, not like Rebbe, because mechubaran layitzuch krol rebuye, they say that you're telling me the Rebbe is including that when they're attached, oh, that's when it's including with the terminology of hakol. That's when you'll burn the gidim, the atzamayis, all these other things. So, and that says the Gemara, the Rabban hold that you don't need a pasuk to include them when they're attached. Because midina hava rishis al oilo, we already know this concept as we know from the head of the korban oilo, which one has to sacrifice the head intact, which as the pasuk says in Vayikra Aleph, ve'es ha-reish, which includes the bones because there's many bones in the head. So you wouldn't need a pasuk to include to know that the bones, when they're attached, that you're going to burn. We know that from the head. When do you need a pasuk to include? Is even when they're detached, which, like the opinion of the Rabbanan, that we're saying that even when they're detached, you'll burn it. What we're excluding them is only when they burst off. But the Rebbe says the Gemara, no, you're right. You are going to learn from the head. But mechubarin the head teira, when you have things that are secondary, like the tendons and the bones, that are permitted, not a thing that's forbidden. So those are things that are contained in the Beis, that you're right, that wouldn't need to be included from the terminology of HaKol, because you're learning out from like the head, that yeah, things that are permitted, you see from the head, like those bones. But when do you need the pasig, is legir hanasha b'mechubar, is for the gid hanasha when it's attached, meaning when Rebbe said you needed to include gidin and all these other things that when they're attached, it's not saying for regular bones and tendons, because you're right, that you would know from the head. But you wouldn't know regarding forbidden things, like the geranasha, which a Jew is not allowed to eat. That's what we're saying. When it's attached, that's what we're including. But for Rabbanan, they disagree on that. And this is where we're coming to that machlekes. No, mimashke Yisrael. There's a pasuk in Sefer Yechezkel that says that one sheep from the flock, from 200, from mimashke Yisrael, from the beverages, from the feast of the Jewish people, which that pasuk is in the context of karbanos and their libations, which the Gemara Masechta Pesachim explains, what does it mean that a karban has to be mimashki Yisrael? Has to be minamutal Yisrael, from that which is permitted for a Jew to eat. However, the geranasha, which is forbidden for a Jew, is not included and not permitted to be sacrificed on Mizbech. And rather, as we explained according to Rabbanan, when the pasuk is including from the word hakoil, it's coming to include something which is permitted, because what's forbidden is excluded already from Mimashke Yisrael, something that's permitted, which was already detached. Like they explained, even when it's detached, you'll burn it. And not like Rebbe, which it wouldn't include that which is forbidden that's attached, which is the Gid HaNasha. So therefore we see this machlek is that the Gid HaNasha, according to Rebbe, when it's attached, is going to be sacrificed in the Mizbeach, whereas according to Rabbanan, it's not going to be. Now, the Rebbe, he responds to what the Rabbanah is saying, how could I include the Gilanoshe if that's not Mimashki Yisrael? So says the Gemara, Midid Havachel Vedam. He holds it's just like the forbidden fats and blood, which are forbidden for a Jew to eat, yet those are the integral parts that are sacrificed on the Mizbeach. And rather, as Rashi explains, he would hold when it says Minamutal Yisrael, that would be excluding like an animal that's a trefa, or something that's part of the meat of the animal itself, like the chelim and the dam, or the giranasha. Yeah, that, if it's attached, it's going to be sacrificed on Mizbech. But Rabbanan, they would disagree. Mitzvah simakach, something that is the primary mitzvah, like the chelim and the dam, which those are the primary elements of a carbon, that's shani, that's different, that although that's forbidden for a Jew, that is something that we do sacrifice on Mizbeach. But regarding things that are not the primary, like a gid hanasha, which is just an element that's part of the animal, that is not mimashki Yisrael, that's not minamutal Yisrael, never that would be forbidden to sacrifice on Mizbeach. And that's where the Gemara concludes, the raya that this Reb Chiya bar Yosef and Reb Yechanan, this machlekes amayram we find is a machlekes tanoim regarding when the gid hanasha is attached to the yerech, to the thigh, if one's going to sacrifice on Mizbeach or not. So that's what he had explained, that that's not like Reb Papu said, it's not a machlekes. It is a machlekes, and we find this as a machlekes tanoim. Now, continuing on this concept regarding the gid hanasha of a karban oila. So Amar Rav Huna, he says, gid hanasha shel oila, regarding the sciatic nerve of a karban oila, he says, chelze, what you do is you remove it from the thigh, and you throw it litapuach onto, it means literally the apple, but it means regarding the rounded pile that was in the middle of the altar of the Mizbeach, because they would constantly be shoveling the ashes, because they were burning all the karbanas on the Mizbeach, they would gather over there, and they would push it into this pile in the middle, and when that would get too much, then they would take that off and take the ashes elsewhere, but they would keep that in the middle. And Amar Rav Chizdi says, Mori Dechi, the teacher of this teaching, understand what you're saying. Miksiv al kein lo yechel hamizbeach? Does it say regarding the gid hanasha, therefore the altar shouldn't eat it? No, al kein lo yechel b'nei Yisrael ksiv. It says that the Jewish people shouldn't eat it. Why are you saying that you have to, and this is related to the machlekes tanoim that we're just discussing about, why are you saying that you have to remove the gid hanasha? Why, says Rav Chizdi, you should be able to sacrifice it with the yerech, with the thigh, because what's the problem? There's no issur gid hanasha for a mizbeach to eat. It's a problem just b'nei Yisrael to eat. Rav Huna, as we said before, in the explanation of the Rabbanan, no, Mimashki Yisrael. It says from the beverages of the Jewish people, Minamutal Yisrael, it's only that which is permitted for the Jewish people, but if it's forbidden, like the Gid HaNasha, then you can't burn on Mizbech, and everyone has to remove it, And Rav Huna have explained that, so then you'd throw it on the tapuach, on the pile in the middle. But Nesvei, the Gemara, Rav Chizda, asks on Rav Huna from the following brisa. The brisa says, Gid anasha shal shlamim. The Gid anasha from a carbon shlamim, where by the shlamim, the thigh is eaten. So what you do is, says the brisa, is that you remove the gid, because obviously a Jew cannot eat the gid anasha, even if it's connected. So he removes the gid anasha, and mechab de la'ama, and he sweeps it into the canal that was in the courtyard of the Beis HaMikdash. Now, Rashi points out, this, that you could just sweep it into the pile, and there's no mitzvah to burn it as leftovers of a carbon, which is the obligation by Neisser, is because when it says there's obligation to burn leftover parts that were left over time by burning them, it's only something which is edible, which is meant to be eaten. As the Pasuk says in Yirki Yotes, Yachal, it should be eaten, Vanaisi Yisarf, and the leftover should be burnt. But here, where the Gid Anasha is not meant to be eaten, so therefore there's no obligation to burn it. Now, Rashi also asks that why we're saying by the thigh of a carbon shlamim, that you go ahead and you cut out the Gid Anasha in the courtyard and you sweep it into the canal, what do you mean? The carbon shlamim could be eaten in the whole city of Yerushalayim. So he says that either that you're right, the girsa should be the Tumah Karmachat, Chatas, and Asham, which are only eaten in the courtyard, or because that the Kahanim, their Kahana gifts includes the Chazah and the Sheikh, and the Sheikh is the thigh part that has the Gid inside of it, and most of their eating and their dwelling was in the courtyard, and that's where they would sleep. So therefore, it picked it even by Shlamim, that the Gid Hanasha was generally consumed over there, and therefore you had to go ahead and cut it out, and they would just sweep it into the canal. Now, but the second part is where the question's from. The Shel Oila, and we're going to get Hanasha of the Karban Oila, Malei, they would bring it up with the thigh as it was intact. Says the Gemara, my love, my love, you make terror. What is it saying? You bring it up to the Mizbeach and you would sacrifice it. You see, Malik Rav Huna, who says you have to remove it and not burn it on the Mizbeach. Says the Gemara, no, Maleu v'cholzai. What the Brayis is saying is that they would bring it up to the top of the altar, and then afterwards they would remove it on the top of the Mizbeach, and they would not burn it on the fires of the Mizbeach. So that has the Gemara, Me'achas v'cholzai, but if you're removing it anyway, Salam Maleu. So why would they bring it up as part of the thigh if you're not going to be burning it on the Mizbeach anyway? Says Gemara Mishum, because it would be disgraceful to bring up a already dismembered thigh to the altar, because you got to remove the whole Gid Anasha which runs through the leg. Shinam, like it says the Pasuk in Malachi, Hakrivei no lafachasecha, would you sacrifice such a thing and bring it as a gift to your governor? You wouldn't. So when you bring it up intact, because it's not appropriate. Once on the top, so then you start doing the operation of removing Gid Anasha, and you only burn the Yerach, but you actually, like Rav Huna, you don't burn the Gid Anasha, even if it was part of the Yerach, part of the thigh. And says the Gemara, Tanik HaFaseid Rav Huna, we have a Braisa that supports Rav Huna. The Braisa says, as we said before, Gid Anasha Shashlamim, the Gid Anasha of the Karban Shlamim. So there, Mechab de Lama, of course, the person can't eat it, so you remove it, and you just sweep it into the canal. V'shalayl, by the Karban Oil, Choltzai L'tapuach, you remove it to the pile that's in the middle of Mizbech. That's exactly what Rav Huna said, that yeah, you'll take it up, but then you remove it and you'll just throw it on the pile of ashes. You won't burn it on the Mizbech. Now, in a related theme, once we discuss this tapuach, this big pile of ashes that was in the middle of Mizbech, the Gemara brings Snan Hasam. We learned over there in the Mishnah Masechet is Tamid, tapuach hayu be'emtza Mizbech. There was this apple, again, this big mound, rounded mound, like looks like an apple in the middle of the altar. Pa'amim hayu lav kishalash meis kur. At times, there was 300 kur of ashes of great piles from when there were many people that they would remove from the sides of Mizbech and put into this pile in the middle, which was called the Tapuach. Now, Amar Rava says Guzma. It's an exaggeration, it's just words, it's not specific necessarily like that because they never really had that much ashes. Just saying, wow, there at times there was really a lot. A similar idea, the Mishnah Masechtas Tamid says Hishkues HaTamid. They would give the carbon Tamid to drink. When they were coming to slaughter that animal, they would give it to drink because that makes actually easier to skin it afterwards. And they would give it to drink with a golden cup. Now, here too, Amar Rabbi says guzma, it's an exaggeration because they didn't specifically use a golden cup. It just means that they did it in an honorable way. Now, moreover, Amar Bami says dibur Torah loshon havai. Sometimes the Torah speaks in the girsa they bring to have with a vase, havai, which is like the way people speak, where it's not so precise, hyperbolic, and people just say things that are not really that way, but not that he's intending to lie, it's just not so precise. And Dibru Nevim Losh Navai, we also find that prophets speak in this way, and Dibru Chacham Losh Navai, and the sages speak in this imprecise way. As we find, Dibrachachem Lashon Havai, the sages say these types of terminologies, Hadamar, like we said before, where they say 300 kor, it doesn't really mean that. It's a way of exaggeration, of just saying there was a lot. Dibrater Lashon Havai, the Torah talks like this, as we find in Sefer Devarim, Arim Gedolus Ubitzuris Bashemayim, that were big and fortified cities in the heavens. Now, obviously, we see it's not being precise in the words of the Torah, because it's not literally in the heavens. So to Dibri Nevi'im Lashon Havai, we find that by the prophets that it's written in this hyperbolic terminology, like a pasuk Melachim Aleph says, but Tibaka Arts, and the Gemara says Bekailam, the earth split from their sound, which that's by when Shlomo HaMelech was appointed king to oppose that Adoniyahu, his brother, tried usurping the throne. It wasn't that literally the ground split. It's just that it appeared from the voice, from the great throngs of the voices of the people, as if it split, but that's again hyperbolic terminology. Amr Yitzchak ben Nachmani, Amr Shmuel, says, B'shleishim ekoim yis dibach hacham Lashon Havai. In three places the sages spoke in this type of exaggerated terminology. And Elohim, and they are Tapuach, regarding the mound, Geffen, the grapevine, Upareiches, and regarding the curtain that was in the Beis HaMikdash. Now, as Rashi points out, however, he holds regarding by the carbon tumah that they gave it to drink from a golden cup, that actually was precise because, like the sages say many times, in anis b'makom ashiris, there's no poverty in the place of opulence. The Beis HaMikdash is a place that things were done with splendor, and therefore they actually gave it to drink with a golden cup. What are these three things? So the Gemara explains tapuach adamar, and like we said, that they had 300 kor of ashes. It wasn't that much. That was that exaggeration. Geffen d'tnan, regarding the grapevine, is a Mishnah Masechtas Midas. Mishnah says, Geffen shel zav ha'isay medes apiskle shalecha. There was a golden grapevine, which was by the opening of the heichal, the sanctuary of the Beis HaMikdash. Umudla gabi kolonaisis, and it was hanging over these poles. V'chol mishayi misnadev gargur ha'eshkel, whoever would donate one grape of gold, or a cluster of these golden grapes, maybe V'toilba would bring it and they would hang it from those poles. Now, Amr Belozer Reb Tzadik says, Maisahayo, there was an incident. V'nimno le'a sholish meis kahanim lefanoisa, they required 300 kahanim to go ahead and remove all that excess that they had over there, because it was too much over there already of the gold, which again is an exaggeration. They didn't really have 300 kahanim clearing it out. And Pereches Tetnan, regarding the curtain of the Beis HaMikdash, we find the Mishnah Masechet Lishkalim that says, Reb Shimon Gamliel, Oymen, Reb Shimon Asgan, and then Reb Shimon the attendant, that Pereches Oyv Yetefach, the curtain in the Beis HaMikdash was a thickness of a tefach. Val Shivim Mishnaim Nirim Nereges, it was woven on 72 heddle shafts, which are these in machinery, which you put the threads through, which go up and down, up and down, up and down to help you weave it. Val Kol Nima Benimen, and on every thread, where Esrim va'arba chutin, were 24 strands, which the Gemara Masechet is human, daf ayin alfa mabeis, learned off of psukim, that each thread was from 24 strands. And arka arboim ba'ama, its length of the pereches was 40 amas. V'rach ba'esrim ba'ama, and its width was 20 ama, because the length of it was for the height of the entryway of the ulam, which is the antechamber leading into the heichal, which is the beginning of the structure of the Beis HaMikdash. And its width was according to the width of that entryway, because the opening of the ulam, that open part, its height was 40 amas, and its width was 20 amas. So the pereches was in that opening as a way of modesty, of covering over the opening of the ulam. Or in other interpretations, it's actually referring to the pereches also of the devir, of the kachet kachim, which had the same measurement, that its width was to the width of the heichel, which was 20 amas, and its height was that height from the roof up until the ground. Moreover, it continues the Mishnah, Mishmainim v'shtei riboy nasis, it was made from 820,000 threads. Or another interpretation, actually the gears is not riboy, which means 10,000, but rather it's actually revice, which refers to maidens, to young women, who with 82 women it was made. And v'shtayim b'shon, they would make two of these curtains a year. And here's where the Divrei Havai comes in, v'shalish meis kahanim matvil nais, and they had 300 kahanim who had to immerse it when it became tamei. Which again, that's a Lashon Havai, because they didn't really need so many kahanim. And this is where we find in Shas many times that when it says 300, it's Rashi explains it's a guzma, it's an exaggeration. We just use it as a hyperbolic terminology of saying that there was a lot. Now the Gemara goes back to the halacha of our Mishnah that said that the iser, the prohibition of consuming the gid anasha, the sciatic nerve in the animal, is b'yerek shel yamin or b'yerek shel shmal. There's two sciatic nerves on either side of the thighs of the animal, and it applies to the right one and to the left one. Says the Gemara, Masnit like Rabbi Yehuda. Our mission is not like Rabbi Yehuda, because the Tanya learned in a Brayis, Rabbi Yehuda, I mean, he disagrees. He says in Noigel ba'achas, this again only applies to one of them. Vadas machras, and says Rabbi Yehuda, and the intellect would conclude, which the Gemara is going to shortly explain what that means, that Eshel Yemin, that it's actually referring to the right thigh, that the right Gedanasha, that's one that's forbidden. Now, Ibayla, the following question. Mifshid Pshita Le Rabbi Yehuda, was it obvious and resolved to Rabbi Yehuda that it is the right one? Umay Das, and what did he mean when he says that the Das Machras, that you know the intellect would conclude, it means Das Taira, it means the intellect of the Taira, as Gemara is going to shortly explain, where would the proof would be that it's referring to the right one? Or maybe it was that he was in doubt. Umay Das, and what does it mean? The intellect, it means Das Naita, it means he's leaning towards, the intellect would lean towards that, because it's a doubt, but partially it would seem that it should be the right one. And the reason for that is because generally, when someone wrestles with his friend, which that was where the Isser Gidanosha came from, because the Malach of Esav fought with Yaakov Vinu and dislodged his thigh, and thus making the Gidanosha jump from its place, is that when he's facing his opponent, so his right hand, which is the stronger one, is facing the opponent's left side. But then he hugs him, and his right hand reaches all the way behind his opponent to try to trip him down, goes all the way to the opponent's right thigh. And therefore, it would make sense that that's the one that was dislodged, which is the Yerech HaYamin. But again, that's only that it would appear to be, but it's still a doubt. So what did he mean that Hadas Machras Eshel Yemin? Did it mean that he concluded because it's the Das Torah that says it, which that's conclusive? Or did it mean his own intellect seems to indicate that? Says the Gemara Tashima. It's being arrived from the Mishnah Masechet Pesachim. The Mishnah says, Hatzamais V'agidim, the bones and the tendons of the Karban Pesach, or V'hanaser, the leftover meat from the Karban Pesach, Yisrafu L'shisha Asar, should be burnt on the morning of the 16th of Nisan, which the novelty is saying that not on the morning of the 15th of Nisan, even though it already became nicer, because the Karban Pesach is eaten on the night of the 15th, and the following morning it's already nicer left over. Why didn't you burn it on that first day? It's because the Gemara in Shabbos, Daf Chav Dalam Beis, says that Insar from Kachem Yamtim, you don't burn Kachem like leftovers on Yom Tov. Now, so therefore you burn it on the 16th of Nisan, which in the biblical law is only one day of Pesach, so that's already, you're allowed to burn things on Chol HaMoed. Now, the bones that we're talking about in that Mishnah are talking about that have marrow inside of it, and since they're secondary to the leftover marrow inside, which is like basar, so therefore you have to burn the bone itself, like the leftover meat itself, but those which are not consumed, if it didn't have any marrow, then that wouldn't require burning, because the pasuk says, "Leisasir, don't leave over," which tells us whatever you say that don't leave it over because you should have eaten it because it's like meat or marrow, then you should burn it as it's left over, but the other things you don't have to. But that's why these bones and tendons, which that's going to be part of the discussion, which should be eaten, or at least secondary to something that should be eaten, and therefore it has the halacha of nisa, just you can't burn it on the morning of the 15th, you'll burn it on the morning of the 16th. Now, Vavinba, we had asked regarding that Mishnah, Hani Gidi Ma'avadetayu, what type of tendons are we talking about over there in that Mishnah? Igi de Basar, if we're talking about the soft tendons that are part, that like spread out, because that's how an animal, that's how a creature is, that the tendons are what connect the bone to the flesh, and part of it is connected to the bone, part of it goes through the flesh, and that's where the nervous system is part of this system, but it's part of the flesh, and when one eats a piece of meat, he's eating these tendons. So if we're talking about those type of tendons, so lechlinu, so what I mean, he should eat it on the night of Pesach, why are these things that are left over that you have to burn them? And ve'i, and if it's talking about that it happened to be dayater, that these tendons happen to have been left over, well then hainu nicer, that's already the same thing as the meat that was left over, and we already said that when we said that you have to burn the leftovers on the morning of the Shisha Asr. What are we talking about that we're saying specifically tendons? Ella rather, gidi tzavr. We must be talking about the tendons of the neck, which those tendons are hard like bone, and that's normal to go ahead and always leave them over. And therefore, that would make sense why the Tana would say them by themselves like bones, because people are not eating that, and therefore that would be automatically nicer, not just happen to be, and that's what we're saying you have to burn on the morning of the 16th. But that is the Gemara, why? Elav basin, and if they're not like flesh, because they're hard like bone, and they're not like even bones that have marrow inside of them, so lishdinu, what do you mean? You should just be able to throw it to the garbage, because they're not basar, and therefore does not have the halacha of nicer, because it's not something that's normally eaten, so why do you have to burn it? Why does it have the halacha of burning it as nicer? Rav Chizkiya explained, Lo nitzucha el legeranashri. Right, that Mishnah Pesachim, when saying the Gidim, is only that we're referencing regarding the Gid Hanasha. Valib Rabbi Huda, it's going like Rabbi Huda, the Ame in Noigelaba Achas, who said that the Gid Hanasha, the Issa, only applies to one of the two Gid Hanashas. Now, but he was in doubt which one's permitted and which one is forbidden. So therefore, by default, obviously you're going to have to leave over both of them, because you don't know which is the one that's forbidden to eat and which one's permitted. But therefore, both of them are going to have to be burnt on the morning of the 16th, because each one of them, you're in doubt which one was the permitted one, which could have been eaten, and therefore is nicer. So therefore, that's what you have to burn. So that's what the Gemara proves. If you say that Rabbi Huda was in doubt, he never really concluded, it's only Das Naite would appear to be the right one, but he really wasn't clear. So Shapir, so that would make sense. That's why you have to leave them over and you have to burn them. But if you're going to say that he was conclusive and he resolved that it's definitively the right one and not the left one, so then why are we saying that this is always going to be left over? The permitted one, the left one, should be eaten. And the Isur, Lashadi, the forbidden one, the right one, should just be thrown away. Why are we saying that this has to be burnt? On that, Amar Rav Ikar Bar Chanina says, no. Lo'ilam emalach mifshut pshitla. I can really tell you that according to Behuda, he's conclusive that it's the right one that's forbidden and the left one is permitted. So then why are you saying that this is automatically going to be nicer? Because of Hachma Yiskin, what are we talking about over here is actually Kishahukru, which Rashi says the wording is not precise, not that it was recognized, obviously. The right side is recognized as right and left is recognized. Just that's the terminology, how this type of interpretation is usually said. But it means that it was recognized, but at the end, then they were mixed up. Meaning, we don't know now which Gid Hanasha was taken from the right side, which one from the left side. The tendons look the same. We don't know which was from which side. That's what we're saying, that, oh, now that you don't know, now you can't eat them. But both of them are going to have to be burned because one of them is the permitted one and one is the forbidden one. And that's what the Mishnah over there is referring to. But you're right, if we knew which one was which, then you would eat the left one and you would burn the right one because we could say Rabbi Yehuda was Mifshad Pshitalei, not Mesukah Mesafkalei, and therefore there's no Raya. Or as we continue to have Tzadei Alv Manav, Rav Ashi Yama, he gives a different interpretation why this Mishnah would not be a Raya and you can't resolve from over here. Because the reason is not because that Rabbi Yehuda was in doubt. Rather, you could say, yeah, he knew definitively the right is us and the left is permitted. But over here, le'nitzucha el l'shamnoi, here the halacha was referring to the fats of the Gid HaNasha, which those fats are biblically permitted. But the Tanya, like one of the braises, shamne mutter, although the fats are permitted, the Yisrael kadoshim, but the Jewish people are holy and they make boundaries for the laws of the Torah, and nagu bay isra, and they treat the fats as forbidden too. Now, so therefore, you have to leave over those fats of the Gid Hanasha because of the minig of the custom of not eating it. But you're still going to have to burn it because since biblically, it's something that can be consumed. That's what we're referring to when we say the Gidin, we don't mean the Gid Hanasha itself. That he knows, which one's also which one's mutter. But the fats of it, which is really biblically permitted, that they also automatically wouldn't eat because of the custom, because of the Yisrael Kadoshim, it's referring to those, that fat of the Gidin, that's going to have to be burnt because they're not eating it anyway, and that's going to be on the 16th of Nisan. Or another interpretation, Rabbi Nama, he says, "Le'nitzucha ella like Rabbi Yehuda Mishmul," which is also showing a similar type of case where it's not because we don't know which is the Gid Hanasha, which is not, but there are certain elements relating to this Gid Hanasha that we treat as forbidden, but biblically it's permitted, and then we're going to have to burn it. Where the Amar Yehuda Mishmul, he says, "Shnei Gidin hein." Actually, in that area, there's actually two sinews over there, which are share similar patterns in the neural network of the animal. Pnimi samach le'etzem. There's an inner one which is closer to the bone. That's the longer sinew, which is placed along the length of the thigh, which is when you pull away the thigh, you see that it spreads throughout the thigh. Now, one end of it is attached to the tailbone, to the spine of the animal. From there, it spreads out along the length of the thigh until where the area that it connects the femur to the hip bone, and all along that goes close to the bone. That gid is usr. That's what's known as the Gid Hanasha. That's biblically prohibited. And if one eats it, he gets lashes. And the way we know it's referring to the inner one, as the Gemara will later on explain, from hayerach, the thigh, which is referring to a specific one, which is the inner one. And also because this sinew is what the pasuk says, al hakaf, on the spoon, which the calf is the rounded part of the flesh that surrounds the hip bone where it's attached to, that's on it, that's the inner one. Now, because it's on the inner part of the thigh, which faces the other thigh of the animal when the animal is attached, so that's what we call the inner one. And that's one type. That's the primary biblical gidanasha. Now, but then there's a chitzen. Then there's an outer sinew that's shorter, which is along the width on the lower part of the thigh, which that's absorbed in the spoon part of the flesh that surrounds the bone, and that's on the outer part of the thigh. That's samach labas, that's closer to the flesh, not to the bone. That's usur rabbinically, but v'in chayav lav, there's no liability of lashes on it, because that, first of all, is not included on al hakaf. It's not on the spoon of the flesh, rather it actually goes inside the flesh. And therefore, and like we said, it's not included in Hayerach. Now, that's what Ravina is saying regarding that outer gid. It's regarding that the Mishnah was referring to. That obviously is going to be left over from Karban Pesach because the rabbinic iser is not to eat it, but you're going to have to burn it because biblically it is fit to be eaten. And therefore, it is considered as basar of the Karban Pesach, which is left over. It was regarding that we're referring to, that you're going to have to burn it. But again, there's no raya yet for the opinion of Rabbi Huda if it was Mifshe Pshitle or Svuka Misafkele, because we weren't talking about the Gidanash itself. As these answers were saying, it's either referring to the fats or to a different related gid, and those are the things that automatically you're going to have to leave over, either because of the custom or because of rabbinic iser, and therefore you're going to leave it over, but it's not referring to the Gidanash, because you're right. Gidanash itself, we could say that the right one was thrown away and the left one was eaten.